Church, if you please stand with me out of respect for God's word, we want to go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 1, reading verses 6 through 11 this morning. Church, hear the word of the Lord. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Pray with me. Father, thank you for, again, this day. Thank you for this word. Thank you for Jackie. We've already had the opportunity to be encouraged this morning, and now we have the opportunity to come and to hear what you would have for us. And Lord, just coming to this text and being reminded of what was about to begin after your son went into heaven and sat upon the throne through his people, Lord, I pray that you would stir our excitement. Lord, you would stir our hope. That, Lord, you would help us as the people, your people, to jump in with both feet, to be a part of the work in which you are doing, the part of the work that we've celebrated started at your birth so many years ago. Lord, we just ask that you would bless this time. Lord, I pray that our hearts would be open to hear what we need to hear and see what we need to see. And I pray all of these things in your name. Amen. Church, you go ahead and have a seat. I promise, by the way, we're not trying to look like the mall or put up some sort of new COVID restriction. This actually is part of what we're going to talk about, but I'll explain it in just a minute. So just to make sure that nobody's distracted by this big rope that's up here in front of me. You know, it's interesting, it's crazy to think that the next time we get together, it's going to be 2021. That just kind of blows my mind. I don't know how it's been for you. I feel like in a lot of ways, this has been like the fastest year in my life, and I feel like a lot of ways it's been the slowest year of my life. And yet, here it is. Like, here's 2021. It's right upon us. Now, as I think about this and as we come to this, I think that we come to the year oftentimes, every year, with a sense of hope and anticipation with what's going to come. Now, truly, I'm sure that there's also some that have a sense of anxiety and angst because we're not really sure what 2021 is going to hold. And I think that that's absolutely, I think that's absolutely true. But as we enter into the new year, I think that this season has a lot for us and can give us a lot of perspective as we enter into a new year. And here's what I mean by perspective. I love the season from Thanksgiving to Christmas. It's just such a neat season, isn't it? Like, I don't know what it is about that whole time frame, but I don't know if it's the changing of the weather, slowly getting colder. I don't know that if it's that every single time a cloud shows up in the sky, my kids are hoping for snow and a call from the school saying that there's no school. I don't know if it's that we cover everything with colorful lights and there's Christmas presents underneath the tree. And I don't know what it is, but man, the whole season is just a fun season. I love it every single year. Every year it's just exciting and it has all of this emotion kind of attached to it. It's just such a great season. But then we hit December 26th, right? Or as today stands, December 27th. And so as your week goes on and as we get into December 27th and 8th and 9th, and then we get to the first of the year, during this time, it's kind of an interesting season. That which was new already begins to lose its luster and lose its excitement. We take down all of our beautiful, colorful Christmas lights, and what we're left with is a bunch of dead brown trees and grass. It's cold. Just because it's cold, right? Like it's like the next month of just being cold and football's about to end. We have to go back to work. My kids have to go back to school. And it kind of becomes this like, I was actually talking to Ryan right before the service started, and I was like, yeah, Christmas 26, it's just kind of this strange sense of, it's not like depressing, but it can be kind of a feeling of a letdown. Now, here's the thing though. As Christians, I don't think that should be the case at all for us. I actually think that it should be exactly the opposite. I think that it should encourage our hearts. I think that we should enter into the new year with a new sense of hope, a new sense of purpose, a new sense of anticipation for what God is doing and what God is going to do. And here's the thing, we just came out of a text of scripture. I hope most of you or many of you memorized it, Isaiah chapter 9. We sang about it this morning. It's on the sides of the walls, verses 2 through 7. And we just came out of this text of scripture, which leads us to this hope. Like, it doesn't end with the manger. And here's what Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7 says. Of the increase, this is the very end of the text, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this from this time forth to forevermore. Now to forever. But here's the thing. This should lead us to a brilliant reminder as we end 2020 and as we begin 2021, if there is a now, and I believe that there is, and we're gonna talk about that here in just a minute, and there is kind of this moment in the sand that is drawn, and there is a forevermore, which I think most of us are here because we believe that to be the case, what we also recognize is that there is a space between, isn't there? There's a space between this time forth, from this time forth, and there's the forevermore. There's a space between in which we live, a time in between, a season in between. And that's where we find ourselves. And so the question it comes is what is it going to happen? What's supposed to happen in this space between? What's supposed to happen during this time? How are we supposed to be? Do we have a role to play as the people of God? I think the answer is yes. But before we get to what that looks like, let's start with the from this time forth. What was this time forth? And that's what this rope is supposed to remind us of. This is not a new analogy. You've probably seen illustrations like this before, but I think it's a great reminder for us that when we talk about the this time forth, that this time forth is what Isaiah said was when the child comes. And Jesus came, he came as a baby, he grew up, he was in ministry, he showed the glory of God through the common and the miraculous as he walked through this life. He died on the cross for your sins and my sins. He was put into a tomb, raised from the dead and raised from the grave. And then what's beautiful about that story we just read in Acts is that then Jesus goes up into heaven. He goes up out of the sight of the disciples. That is this time forth. That's exactly what Isaiah was talking about. Isaiah was talking about this child from that moment was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. And all authority in heaven and earth has now been given to Jesus. And so from that moment, something began. And something grand began, and it has now gone forth for all of these years up into this point. This is exactly what the book of Hebrews says. Listen to what the author of Hebrews says in verse 3 of chapter 1. He, being Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God on high. So that's what happened in Acts chapter 1. Jesus raised up. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he spent about 40 days with his disciples teaching them, and then he goes up into heaven as a fulfillment of what Isaiah had said was going to happen, and his disciples were there. So the line in the sand has been drawn from this time forward, and then we have all kinds of history that's happened. And then we find ourselves in 2021, and here we are on this giant timeline, and we don't know how long it's going to go forward before eternity starts, and we have just this little spot that's been given to us. Just this little moment that's been given to you and to me in this time and in this place in Wichita, Kansas. Now, what do we do with that? What do we do? See, here's the thing. From that time forth, every person in history who has learned about Jesus has to do something with Jesus, don't they? They have to do something with him because he's not in the tomb anymore. They have to decide what to do with this man who raised from the dead, who there isn't a body for, who proclaimed to be the Son of God, who proclaimed to die for our sins. They have to do something with him because this happened in a moment, a real time in history. And what I love about it is that what Jesus started cannot be stopped, amen? It cannot be stopped all throughout history and all beyond to forevermore. And that's what we go to next. It's to forevermore. It's not just to this time forth, but it's also to forevermore. It's forevermore, a no end, an ever-increasing work. It started with the men on that mountain, and it has to continue, and it has continued to increase for millions of people for thousands of years. And it increases now. His kingdom increases. But here's my point. I have to imagine, in this moment in the book of Acts, there had to be a little bit of sense of the disciples of kind of what we feel on December 26th and December 27th. I mean, just imagine the disciples. I mean, I'm sure that they have all this anticipation, and you even hear it in Acts chapter 1. Hey, Jesus, is now the time where you're gonna restore the kingdom? Like, is now the time where you're gonna restore Israel? Like, we're excited, we're ready. We've been waiting for 700 years since Isaiah told us it's gonna happen. We've watched you for 33 years live in this world and do ministry and do miracles. You've now raised from the dead. Now's gotta be the time. And then Jesus is like, no. Like, it's not for you to know. See you later. You got to imagine, in that moment, the disciples have to be like, wait, what? Like, what's left to be done? Well, like, what's left to be done? And so here's the thing. In this whole thing, Jesus is saying, like, yes, there is a time that is fixed by the Father where eternity will begin and all of this will change and this line and this timeline of this rope will turn into a never-ending line. Like, that's absolutely true, but like, when is it going to happen? So here is the question that we're going to lead off with in this short sermon series at the beginning of 2021. How can we avoid disappointment in this space between? Like, how can we avoid disappointment in this? Like, how can we avoid going, wait, what am I supposed to do now? Like, what is our call? How can we do this? So here's the question, how can we avoid disappointment? Because I think that's a real possibility. Scholars have often called this space between, this tension between the already versus the not yet. In other words, already the kingdom of God has come. We've talked about this before, but it's not yet fully realized. So just give you some specific examples. So I have begun to already experience the redeeming work of Jesus Christ in my marriage. Like, as I seek to live in the ways in which he has called me to live, I seek to love my wife as Christ has loved the church. I'm beginning to experience that in my marriage. And in honesty, we experience it way more today than we did 16 years ago when we first started, right? And guess what? 20 years from now, if God so blesses us, I hope that we've experienced even more of it. But it's not complete yet. You know why? I'm a sinner. Surprise, right? So's my wife. Like, we're not there yet. There's an already to the sense of the word, the fullness of Christ, but it's not there. I've already begun to experience a deeper sense of connection to the Lord, a deeper sense of hearing of his voice, but not fully because I don't see him fully. I've already begun to experience deliverance from the bondage of sin, but not fully. Like, this is the reality for our lives. We can begin to see restoration. We begin to see restoration specifically in the lives of the poor at times and injustices at times as we're called in to be the people of God bringing the kingdom forward, but it's not complete. So in this moment, how do we avoid feeling that disappointment? First and foremost, I think that we need to recognize dangerous expectations. Again, I think this is something we've discussed before, but this is so important for us because our expectations can lead to disappointment. The first thing is to have too high of expectation regarding the not yet. In other words, expecting things that God hasn't promised us in this life. Isn't that a temptation for some? Like, we can have this expectation, then they're like, well, didn't you promise to remove all my suffering? Didn't you promise to take away everything from me? Didn't you promise to keep me from death? And yes, all of those things are true, but we have too high of expectation to actually experience all of that in our life. And then we become disappointed because guess what? We still die. We still get sick. We still experience suffering. And we see this all throughout the scriptures. I mean, Paul experienced wealth. He experienced poverty. He experienced the praise of men. He experienced the persecution of men. He's experienced all of these different moments in life. Jesus tells us that trials and tribulations and hardship and suffering is all going to continue to be present while we're in this place. And so we can't have too high of expectations, asking him to accomplish something and bring something in to this moment right now, to this little space of our lives that he never promised to actually give. Now, this is similar to my kids having a high expectation of Christmas that I'm going to give them their full inheritance on Christmas morning. Not gonna happen. Now, do they get to experience some of their inheritance now? Yes, every time I buy them something, that's coming out of their inheritance. It's getting smaller, right? But that's the reality of this, isn't it? Like, we wait for our inheritance. The inheritance has been promised to us. It's there. It's solid. But my kids, if they come to me expecting that that inheritance is given to them right now in this moment, they have too high of an expectation, right? Now, that's one danger. But isn't there a danger also of having too low of expectations? See, the other aspect is that we believe that, well, we're only going to experience those things. And God doesn't care about these things. He doesn't care about giving us life and life now. He doesn't care about helping engage our lives in miraculous ways and stepping into that space. And I'm here to declare to you today that the kingdom does come now. We can pray and ask God to do and give physical healing for sick bodies. He does it. He's done it. He continues to do it because he's still active. We can begin to see restoration in relationships and reconciliation in relationships. We can begin to see a deeper flourishing in life. If you believe that all we really have is just salvation from our sins, and now we just wait in anticipation for forever more to start somewhere down this line, like, then we're just gonna enter into a bunker down mentality, just waiting, hoping, like, please just come. Brothers and sisters, we're gonna miss out. You're gonna miss on seeing what God has called us to do. But we are called to care for the poor. We are called to build hospitals. We are called to see healing in our marriages. We are called to see healing to our physical lives and to pray for those things. See, we don't wanna have too high of expectations, but we don't have too low of expectations either. Because both will lead to disappointment. We begin to see him clearly and we begin to hear his voice more clearly, but it's important that we focus and we talk about the increase of his government, not always the completion of his government. We will see the increase of his rule in our lives. That's there and we can hope for it and we can long for it and we can pray that God would bring life to our finances and to our families and to how we view material possessions and how we view COVID and the fear that comes with all of that. God brings those things to us. We're not to be disappointed. Balance is so important. But here's the other point. As we look at the increase of his government, waiting for its completion, we also have to trust in waiting, don't we? See, part of that is recognizing our time and our season. Like on that rope, where are we? Like, we're not way back there where it started, but we also haven't seen him. Did we come back down upon the mountain? Remember the disciples? He said that he's coming back again on this mountain. Like, we haven't seen that. And so here we are in this space and time, and we need to recognize this time and season. And what I think is so powerful about both Isaiah and Acts is this beautiful promise that when the Lord has promised it, the Lord will do it. Isaiah chapter 9, he tells us that it is the Lord's zeal that will accomplish these things. Man, if the Lord is zealous to do it, that excites me. Jesus says this is fixed. Like, don't miss that. Like, it's a fixed time. Like, this isn't something that's malleable. The Lord has already set a fixed moment where this is going to happen, where forevermore is going to begin. We are called to trust. We're called to believe. Luke chapter 4 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Brothers and sisters, that is our time and our season. We are in a season of the Lord's favor. We are in a season and a time of the Lord's favor. I've had people ask me before, like, man, why do we still have all this stuff? Like, why doesn't the Lord just take it away and remove all the suffering? Why doesn't forevermore just start now? And I think my response to that is that, well, how and why do we have this in the first place? We talked about it a while ago, a couple weeks ago, in the sense that we oftentimes are the cause of suffering. And if the Lord removes all of it, he removes us from the equation. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish. And so since that day, all the way up into this moment right now, is a moment of patience, a moment of favor, where Jesus is saying, come to me, come to me. Hear the gospel, hear the good news. I've died to save. I've been raised. And there's a day I'm going to come again. Like, this is the time. So brothers and sisters, this is the time of his favor. You know people that don't know Jesus? Their time may not last forever. This season will not last forever. And so by knowing this is the time of the season that we've been called into helps us to understand who we are and what our role is, and helps us to avoid disappointment in the midst of that. He is going to accomplish his work. One other way that we can avoid being disappointed, and it's part of this idea of trusting and understanding our season, is being caught up in this story. Imagine the disciples, or can you imagine the disciples standing there on this mountain? They see Jesus go up into the sky, and they're just standing there with mouths open, waiting. Can you imagine had they never left the mountain? See, that's the beauty of this whole story. They were caught up into it. We are supposed to be caught up into the gospel. We're not supposed to read this as if we're distanced from it. We're not supposed to read this in the same way that we watch movies and we long to be a part of those movies. We are to watch these things and hear the calling of God into the work. That's part of what Jackie's doing. That's part of what many of you are doing in your spheres of influence and in your lives. But we're called to be caught up into it. There's a great picture of this in the works of C.S. Lewis in The Chronicles of Narnia. I don't know how many of you are familiar with that. If you're not, I think you'll still understand the analogy. But in The Chronicles of Narnia, you have this family that goes into this magical, wonderful land. And there's all of this beautiful pictures of Christ and the Lord in this and our calling into it. But the third story is called The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. And they've come into Narnia and come back into the real world. They've gone back into Narnia and then come back into the real world. And there's this point in the Voyage of the Dawn Treader where Lucy and Edmund, which are two of the kids that have gone into Narnia, are at their cousin's house. And I want to read an excerpt out of The Voyage of the Dawn Treader because this is such a beautiful picture. And I think C.S. Lewis knew exactly what he was doing when he wrote it. They were in Lucy's room, sitting on the edge of her bed and looking at a picture on the opposite wall. It was the only picture in the house that they liked. It was a picture of a ship sailing straight towards you. Her prow was gilded and shaped like the head of a dragon, with wide open mouth. She had only one mast and one large square sail, which was rich purple. The sides of the ship, what you could see of them, were the gilded wings of the dragon ended green. She had just run up to the top of one glorious blue wave, and the nearer slope of that wave came down towards you with streaks and bubbles on it. Eustace, Lucy's cousin, says, "It's a rotten picture. Why do you even like it?" "Well, for one thing," said Lucy, "I like it because the ship looks as if it were really moving, and the water looks as if it was really wet, and the waves look as if they were really going up and down." What they were seeing may be hard to believe when you read it in print, but it was almost as hard to believe when you saw it happening. The things in the picture were moving. It didn't look at all like a cinema either. The colors were too real and clean and out of doors for that. Down went the prow of the ship into the wave, and up went a great shock of spray, and then up went a wave behind her, and her stern and her deck became visible to the first time, and then disappeared as the next wave came to meet her, and her brow went up again. At the same moment, an exercise book, which had been lying beside Edmund on the bed, flapped, rose, and sailed through the air to the wall behind him, and Lucy felt all her hair whipping round her face as it does on a windy day. And this was a windy day, but the wind was blowing out of the picture toward them. And suddenly with the wind came the noises, the swishing of waves, and the slap of water against the ship's side, and the creaking and overall high, steady roar of air and water. If you know the story, Lucy and Edmund and Eustace are brought into the picture. They're brought into that sea, and they find themselves swimming in the sea, and then they are lifted up into the Dawn Treader, the ship of which that was, and then the whole story happens there in Narnia. And here's my point, and this is why I think this is such an important thing for us. I think that so many Christians today look at the beautiful painting of the gospel. Look at this whole now to forevermore, and we stand from a distance and we may go, "Man, look how beautiful it is. It's so amazing. It's so grand. It's so fantastic." And we learn about it and we study it and we pay attention to it and we stand back just gazing about it, imagining what it would be like to be a part of the story, longing to feel the bigness of it all. But we never turn away from this world enough to get caught up into it. We never turn away from the world enough to get caught up into the gospel, into what Jesus has begun and what he has started, what started with his birth and his death and his resurrection, and what started when he took the throne on that day on the mountain with his disciples. As believers, this is where true life begins, not watching it and reading about it, but stepping into it. It's our calling, it's our purpose, it's the gospel life where the reign of Jesus extended through us as his people. We bring the government of Jesus Christ into our relationships and bear witness to that. We bring the government of Jesus Christ into politics. We bring the government of Jesus Christ into our work and into art, into entertainment, into the beauty of music. We bring Jesus into all of these things. Brothers and sisters, we're called into it. We're not just called into it to be alone. We're called into it to walk in power. Now, if you know this story in Acts, in this whole scene where Jesus is about to leave, we see that Jesus tells them, "Hey, don't leave Jerusalem. Go back, wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you." We see that towards the end of Luke, and we hear this communication of like, "Hey, wait, don't try to do this on your own. You can't do this on your own. You can't enter into the story by yourself. You have to be empowered by the Spirit. You need to walk in power. You know what I love about it? Jesus had to tell him to wait. Is Jesus telling any of us to wait? Like, are we that amped up to go serve and to minister and to bring the gospel to people where people are saying, like, hold on, wait for the Spirit to lead you into those spaces? Jesus didn't have to convince them. He didn't have to use a cattle prod, like, guys, get out there. Like, it's like they were excited. They were ready to do it. I feel like I need a cattle prod a lot. Like, personally, I do. Sometimes even as a pastor in the church, I feel like that. I feel like when we're calling the church to give and to be financially partnering with the church, we've got to convince you why that's the right thing to do. I feel like when it comes to going on a mission field that we've got to kind of play the manipulation games at time and show you pictures of kids starving to try to get you to be engaged in it, to get us to be engaged in it. Jesus didn't have to convince the disciples. They were excited. They wanted it. And in 2021, we can have the same joy. We can have the same excitement because we just sat in a whole season reminded that the King of Kings became a man and he started this whole thing. And we're called to walk in power. And while they must have been chomping at the bit, Jesus says, hold on. This adventure that I'm calling you into cannot be done by yourself. And he gives him the Spirit. This is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And you and I have been granted to the same power. This is what Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1:3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. It's there. It's there. But I fear for myself, I fear it for my kids, I fear it for us as the church, that we will be too tempted to stay on the mountain and look at the picture, just waiting for him to come through the sky instead of walk in the power of the Spirit and in the life that he's called us to. Because it's a temptation for all of us, waiting for his kingdom to come instead of recognizing that each and every one of us are kingdom vessels. We are vessels of the glory of God, that Jesus Christ would live through us, that the glory of God would be seen in us and through us in every part of this world. Man, may not be the case for us in 2021, that our faith might be made alive. Imagine with me all of the things the disciples believed about God or his calling, but they would have never experienced had they stayed on the mountain. Like, they might have believed in the provision of God, but they wouldn't have ever experienced it as they were living life of faith. They might have believed that God saved, but they wouldn't have ever experienced God's saving work in the life of the lost without proclaiming the gospel. They might believe that God provides, but they may not have ever experienced the provision of God in miraculous ways if they didn't leave the mountain. They might have believed in the presence of Jesus through his Spirit, but they might not have experienced the presence of Jesus because we're called to be where Jesus is. And he has come to the lost, to seek and save the lost, to go to the poor, to go to the sick, to go to the hurting. Brothers and sisters, for our faith to be made alive, man, we gotta jump in the picture, not read about it. And that's a great joy for us as we enter into 2021. Like, there's so much there for us as the people of God to live and to be a part of. They could have believed in these things, but they got to experience these things and see their faith become real and see their faith become alive. I want to see the increase of his reign. I want to see the increase of his reign in Wichita. I want to see the increase of his reign in my own life. I want to see the increase of his reign to the very ends of this earth. And man, does our world need it, amen? Like, is there anything else in 2021 that our world needs more, despite what it would try to convince us of? Church, this is your calling. This is my calling. And so over the next few weeks, as we enter into 2021, we're going to be talking just specifically, what can we practically do and how can we practically step into this story? How can we be caught up into this story? But I want to be honest. Today, I think, is a day that we need to repent. I think today needs to be a day that we need to confess. A day that we need to dream and to pray for this to happen in my life, in your lives. As we are entering into 2021, will we be caught up into the increase of his kingdom, bearing witness to it, recognizing that we have been given such a small amount of time? This is a terrible picture of how small amount of time we have. But it's something to help us see. We've been given such a small amount of time, and we've been called up into it. And so I want to start this morning, in all honesty, just to confess to you that in the past few years in particular, like in a lot of ways, I have been content to just look at the story. To just say, well, this is enough. This is what I'm doing. And this is where we're good. And it's all well, and not continually go to the Lord and say, Lord, what else do you have? What else are you calling my family into? What else are you calling me into? How can I step out in faith? How can I be bold for your gospel? Even in the mundane of life, we're going to talk about that. But how can I step into these things? And I just confess to you as the church, I've been too content. And I want to repent of that. I want to repent of those things in my life. I want my faith to be more alive in 2021 than it was in 2020. Do you, church? Like, that's where the gospel is. And that's what he's called us into. And so here's what we're going to do. We're going to end our time a little different. Ryan and the team, they're going to come out. They're going to lead us in a song, and it's a time of response for us. And you may not know the words of the song. That's okay. You can listen to the song. You can join us in worship. You can stand and sing. You can pray. You can do all of those things. But I'm going to call you and myself and us as a church to some very specific time of response. And with that time of response, it's important sometimes for us to not just respond in our heads, but to respond in the midst of community. And so I'm going to call our pastors and our elders and our prayer counselors up to the front just to be ready to receive people. But here's what I would call us to respond to. If you feel like you've been caught up into that story and you feel like God has given you that passion and you feel like you're stirred in that and you've been engaged in that, you can take this moment to respond by praying for those that you know maybe not, or praying for those who don't know Christ. Maybe you can take this moment to pray that you would even do more. And this isn't an act of duty, but that out of love and the joy of Jesus Christ, that he would lead you to do more and to be engaged in more. Some of you may be like me and you feel like, man, I need to repent. And I need to confess. I've been too content to stand at a distance and look at this and read about it. I've had the wrong expectations. I've expected too much. I've expected too little. And it's an opportunity for you to just repent and confess that to the Lord. And I would encourage you not to just do that to yourself. Maybe you confess that to someone you're sitting next to or a spouse, or maybe you come up and pray with one of our pastors and our elders and listen. You may say, well, I don't need to do that, but there is a beauty in doing it with the body. There's a beauty in humbling ourselves. And so I want to encourage you in that. And maybe this morning as we enter into this, the time of response for you is a response that you have never been caught up into the story at all. And I want to say something, and I didn't have this in my notes, and that's, I know, always potentially dangerous, but if you don't know Jesus Christ, and you're here in this moment of your life, let me just tell you something. You're going to experience forevermore. Now, forevermore for me is a is a joyful thing. It is a hopeful thing. Forevermore, something I long for, is something I look forward to, because I have, as a child of God, as a son of God, I have the hope that Jesus is coming to that mountain again. Amen? And man, when he does, this is going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and it's going to be a good thing. And all of the longings, all of the lack of satisfaction, all of the discontentment in this world, all of the hurt and suffering and pain, and it's all going to be gone, and we will live with Jesus in physical bodies on a new heaven and a new earth. What a glorious forevermore we have. If you don't know Jesus, you too will experience forevermore. But it won't be there. And I don't say that lightly. And you may not believe in hell. You may not believe in all those types of things. And you may think, and even if you're a Christian in this space, you may think that man, surely there's not fire and there's not weeping and gnashing of teeth for those who don't know Jesus Christ. And listen, I'm just gonna tell you something that someone else said to me one time. If the best analogy for what is coming for those who don't know Jesus Christ is burning, I don't want it. Amen? Like, if that's the best picture we have, if Jesus is just trying to describe what's there, even if it's not that, like, if the best picture he's got is fire, let's not, right? And I just want to plead with you this morning, and I know this is kind of not the topic we're on, but I think it is in so many ways. Like, this is the time of the Lord's favor. Don't turn your ears. Do not turn your heart. Do not turn your eyes. Do not refuse to listen to the Spirit. But come to peace and come to salvation and come to deliverance and find Jesus. And you will find peace. And you will find a wonderful counsel. You will find a king. You will find a purpose. And you will find the fullness of life. And I pray that this morning is an opportunity for you. And if you want to talk to someone about that, this is an opportunity for you to do that while we sing this song. And so, prayer counselors, would you go ahead and come up? I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song, and then after the song, we're going to have some communion. Father, man, I love that Christmas is this moment in our lives where we can have again the joy and hope and excitement of salvation stirred in our souls, so that, Lord, as we enter into 2021, we would go with purpose. Lord, I pray that you would stir that in us. Lord, help us to be a people who would be willing to repent. Help us to be a people who would be willing to step out. Help us to be a people who don't want to just look at the picture, but want to jump into the picture. We want to jump into the gospel. They want to be co-laborers with you, want to be ambassadors for you, want to reflect you in every part of our lives, that we might experience the fullness of life that you've called us into. Father, what a good beginning to a new year. And it should never get old. Stir it in our hearts. Father, for those who don't know you, Lord, may you help them to see the glories of the gospel. That there is a forevermore. And we get to begin to experience that forevermore right now in our lives as you invade our lives by your Spirit and begin to bring your kingdom forward into our lives. Lord, I pray that you would give them boldness this morning. Prevent the enemy from distraction. I pray that you would prevent the world from distracting us in this moment. May we respond to your word, every single one of us in this room, as we look to 2021. We pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.